are the 1, 2, 3 SAR Losers!
What up, everybody? I am Lunchbox. I know the most about sports, so I'll give you the sports facts, my sports opinions, because I'm pretty much a sports genius.
Hey, and I'm Eddie, and I know the least about sports, but I'm your average sports watcher, your sports fan. I just don't know the who's or the what's what's.
What's up, you guys? I'm Ray. I'm from the North. I am the alpha male. If you ever go into a bar and a guy is shotgunning a beer, it's definitely me.
And we'd like to start off with a game we call
Would You Rather!
Game on!
Would you rather be way too busy or extremely bored?
Oh, I'll go first. I like to be busy. Extremely bored is tough, man. Like, I've been extremely bored before, and I'm like, get me out of wherever I am. Is it the house? Get me out of here. Am I at work? Let me leave this place. Like, bored is hard to deal with. Busy, you forget you're busy until you're tired. Then when you're tired, you just go sleep. Keep me busy.
Dude, I'm going all the way with bored. Man, there was times when I was unemployed for months. There was times when I was an intern, getting no hours whatsoever, and I had so much time on my hands. I was able to fill those hours with so much stuff because I'm a creative guy. I don't just sit in a room and think, oh, I'm bored. Boom, I would work out. I would go just run outside. I would watch every TV show there was. I did so much more stuff with so much time on my hands. I'm a master at creating something out of nothing. I loved being bored and unemployed.
Did you hear how creative he said he was?
I don't think you understand. That means you're busy.
No. He said he's creative. He went to the gym, he went running, and he watched TV. That screams creative. When you said creative, I thought he was going to say, I painted a portrait,
yeah,
or I did a mural.
I wrote a poem.
No. Yeah, no. He went to the gym, he ran outside, and he watched every
you
TV show.
You are the least creative person I know.
And I created two businesses that ended up never getting off the ground.
But, oh, really? What did you create?
One was a workout fitness line, so it would be cut-off shirts, cut-off sweatpants, shorts.
Cool.
Everything was workout oriented and cut off. So it was whatever clothes you're wearing right now, kind of like Bill Belichick style, cut off. That was one of them. The other one was...
Well, Bill Belichick stole your style?
He was the first one.
He stole your business.
No. He originated it, but he never had a patent probably on it. Mm. Then the other one was my sister's great at logos. So I was going to contact every major corporation in America, and she was going to redo their logo. All we needed is one to hit, and we'd be millionaires.
Sounds like you were busy. All right, go ahead, Lunch.
I think... Man, I think I'd rather be bored just because if you're bored, there's room to have some fun. If you're extremely busy, there's no time for fun. That means you always have something going and you don't have time to relax. If you're bored, you can elevate yourself to entertain. But if you're busy, there's not going down to bored.
What are some of the stuff you would do if you're bored? Like,
take a nap.
Okay. I like that. I mean, that's a good answer.
That'll kill time.
It kills a lot of time.
It kills a lot of time.
Sleeping does it.
And then go outside.
Walk. Ponder.
Sit by the lake.
I do think a lot. When I'm bored, I think a lot, and it's not good.
Really? What do you think about?
Just random stuff.
Like what? Like what's one thing that you think about a lot?
A lot. I think about songs, like song ideas come in my head. Like,
but you've never come out with a number one.
No, of course not.
Right. It's not that easy.
A lot of people don't come out with number ones, but I'm always thinking about songs and music.
Oh.
The first thing when I wake up, on my mind, in the shower, is a song, and I don't even know where it comes from, but I've got it. It's in my head.
The first thing that...
It's weird, dude. I'll be showering, and I just woke up 2 minutes ago, and I'm already humming a song, and I'm like, where did I even get that song from?
You're such an artist.
That is...
Creative.
You're so creative.
I'm creative.
Just like Ray.
So you're bored,
Ray,
I'm busy, and Ray is bored.
Because he's creative.
Because he stays busy when he's bored.
All right, that's how we play Would You Rather! Well, boys, Cliff Kingsbury, the new coach of the Arizona Cardinals.
Coach Cliff. Hottie McHotterson.
Yeah, like this picture if you think he's hot. That's what I put on the SportsCenter Instagram. Got a couple likes for it. I mean, dude, you're talking about the most... We went attractive McVay for the Rams. He's just one up McVay. We got some great...
So you're saying the NFC West is the best-looking coaches division because you got Pete Carroll, Sean McVay...
And then now McDreamy.
And Shanahan. Dude, Kyle Shanahan.
Shanahan's a good-looking dude.
Back in the day, those coaches that are overweight... kind of just look like they're not in shape, they're not well dressed, or that's out. If you are, you got to be good looking.
Ditka was always good looking, though.
There ain't a lot of big dudes young that are into coaching now. Now it's the skinny guys that are great looking that were some quarterbacks and know this and that.
You're kind of onto something that it used to be just fat, overweight guys that were just kind of like Mike McCarthy, Andy Reid.
Really old.
And now it is more of the younger guys that look like they're in shape. And I wonder if that's if that has anything like why they are doing that.
Entertainment wise, maybe.
Or maybe it's just we're finally getting a new younger generation of coaches, and all the old ones are out.
Yeah.
And the new guys are moving in.
Well, one of my friends, he moved out to the West Coast. He is a coach.
South Beach.
No, not South Beach.
It's always South Beach.
No, this is another guy. He played football. He was a lineman, Brian Etchison. And I mean, he's a big old boy. I haven't seen him. With Facebook, I deleted my Facebook, so I haven't seen him in years, but he used to be huge, like 300 pounds. He's coming up in the coaching ranks. There could be another big boy coming up eventually, but he's one of them.
But so like all the big boys, though, eventually they start losing weight. Like Holmgren started losing weight a little bit.
Andy Reid has never lost weight.
Andy Reid's lost a lot of weight. Dude, if you...
Really?
Maybe he has, but he still looks huge.
No, he's still a very big man.
He is, but you can tell he was a big, big man. And I know he was a big man. Like, you know, a few years ago, he was just large. Now he looks like he's losing weight.
Yes. And I mean, the really important part about this, about Cliff Kingsbury getting hired, like it's a big deal, but he's going to be in Phoenix where there are nothing but
hotties.
Chicks.
Oh, yeah.
He is going to be crushing
Phoenix.
Phoenix
is a mecca.
Scottsdale.
Of hotties.
Yes.
Wow.
Like they thought he was going through women at Texas Tech. You know, like, oh, look at this hot coach on a college campus. Now he's in Phoenix. Look out, ladies, because Cliff is coming to town.
Coyote ugly.
Cuckoo.
What is the cover charge?
How old is Cliff?
He's 34, 35.
Wow.
Single? Maybe, yeah, I think, as far as I know.
Dang.
Little do we know he's at those bars right now.
Already?
Yes.
Think about all the trips he had to make to Phoenix just to talk in the meetings and stuff. Hitting all these bars, checking it all out.
Yeah, he's got to build, you know, fan base, so he has to go to the bars. Oh, he's 39.
Okay, he's not that young.
But
that's my age.
But all you hear about is women talk about how hot he is.
Yeah, I know. People ever say that about me?
No. And see, and people are making a big deal because he only had two winning seasons in 6 years at Tech. Like, he struggled. Like, how can this guy get fired at Tech and get hired in the NFL to be a coach? What's the difference between them hiring him and hiring some other NFL coach that got fired at his last job? I mean, that's what the NFL does usually is it's, oh, you got fired in New York? Come coach us in Arizona. It just seems like retread after retread. So why not try something new? And maybe he's supposed to be an offensive mind, so why not try it?
And I think you're onto something, dude. This could be a thing where they're like, I mean, he's obviously good looking. Like, we're starting to get good looking coaches. Like, let's load it up. Let's load it up with good looking coaches and good looking people, and let's start making the NFL attractive.
But how does that make him a good coach? Like, how does that
Doesn't
help?
Matter. Doesn't matter.
Can you believe, though, he went to the NFL? Or?
Well, why not? There's only one of 32 jobs. There's only 32 of those jobs in the world. Head coach of the NFL. And if you're a football coach, I think your ultimate goal is to be a head coach in the NFL. So you have that opportunity. This could have been his only opportunity ever to be a head coach in the NFL.
Or maybe
he goes to USC, is an offensive coordinator for a year, and they have an amazing offensive year, and then he gets a better job. Because I think Arizona is the worst team in the NFL. Yeah,
they're terrible.
So you're going to a team that is garbage. Garbage. And they fired their coach after 1 year.
Who is that?
Steve Wilks. So how patient are they going to be with Kingsbury coming in and inheriting a dumpster fire of a roster? They don't have a lot of talent.
Get some good picks, though.
So are they losing Fitzgerald?
Fitzgerald may retire. Okay. I don't know what he's going to do. He hasn't announced it yet, but if they lose him, I mean, they're really down to nothing.
They're really done.
But Josh Rosen, and I think that's why they hired him, is because he's a quarterback guy. He had Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech, so they think, okay, if he can do...
There it is. I think you just said it.
If he can do what he did with Patrick Mahomes with Rosen, we have a young quarterback, let's get this quarterback guru in here, and he can hire a staff around him that has NFL experience, because, right, him not having NFL experience may be a little downfall, but... You never know. It could work. Why not swing for the fences? Try something different.
Mahomes has more talent than Rosen does, though, right? I mean, in the natural talent, like, I wouldn't give it all on a coach.
I think Rosen is really good. I mean, I think he has a lot of talent. I don't know if it's going to work out in the NFL, but In college, I thought, man, this dude's really good.
Two questions for you, sports genius. One, how long do you think Coach McDreamy stays in the NFL?
Well, that depends, because he gets fired in Arizona. I think he can get a job somewhere else. Maybe not a head coaching job, but now that you're in the NFL.
Oh, you can stay in the family.
You can stay in the family, because, like, look at Todd Bowles. He got fired in New York, right? He was the Jets head coach. And what do you know? Bruce Arians comes out of retirement, takes the Tampa Bay job, and, hey, Todd Bowles, you were my defensive coordinator out in Arizona when we were there. Why don't you come be my defensive coordinator down here in Tampa Bay? So you just get jobs, because once you're in it seems like.
And coaching, it's all about making friends. You make those friendships. Hey, I remember you from a couple years ago.
Right.
Come on, let's go. Let's get together.
It's all about having friendships. Sort of like I know a guy that was played at UT, Ahmad Brooks, and he got drafted, and he didn't last in the NFL. But he was friends with who? Kyle Shanahan, because they went to UT together. And Shanahan was on the coaching staff, I think, in Denver. And he's like, hey, man, come out here and, you know, we'll have you out here for like a few months. You're not really going to make the team, but you know what? You'll get a paycheck.
Did Kyle Shanahan play for Texas?
I believe he did.
Didn't know that.
Now.
Oh, because he was friends. Ahmad Brooks, they said, come out. We'll get you a paycheck for a couple months. You might not make it, but just come have some fun.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Like, you might as well come and practice, you know, for 2 months during training camp, get a paycheck, because you know someone. So it's like a big family.
I used to intern with him, and I didn't even know. Ahmad told me that story. How'd you get that story out of him?
I talked to him.
Yeah. You have good conversations with people.
And so it's an interesting hire. I think it's a great hire for Arizona.
Great hire for the NFL. I think it's a great hire all the way around.
I think you go for it.
It's good for him.
Hey, Arizona starts putting up 50 a game. He brought the offense. He brought the Texas Tech offense to Phoenix.
And look, man, when you have a bad team like Arizona,
why not try something
a move like that really puts eyes on the team for next year. Like, are they going to be, will they be the Hard Knocks?
No.
Next season?
I don't think you can be if you're, there's certain rules for Hard Knocks. You can't be a rookie head coach.
You just brought up something amazing. Can you imagine Hard Knocks Phoenix? Dude, the camera guys, it'll all be the nightlife. They're like, hey guys, we got to go to the film room tomorrow. We got to go to the field. We got to start getting some NFL footage. All this footage is of the nightclubs and bars right now.
They're at Dirks's bar instead of the practice field.
Coach.
Yeah, and the hire I thought was weird was Matt LaFleur leaving Tennessee, the offensive coordinator, to go coach to Green Bay. Because he was the offensive coordinator out in L.A. with the Rams, you know, high-flying offense. Then he comes to Tennessee, and he's supposed to bring this high-flying offense. The Titans were terrible. Their offense was garbage. So I don't understand how he takes that. He makes the Titans suck. Like, they seemed to, their offense was really bad.
Right.
And he parlays that into an NFL head coaching job. I don't get. And the Rams, they don't seem to miss him. The Titans got worse when he got here. But hey, come on out here and coach Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. You're gonna make our offense that much better.
Wow, I didn't even know about that one. That's kind of an interesting one.
Like you watch the Titans, you're a Titans fan.
They didn't score. Their offense was weak, dude.
Weak.
It took them forever to score all the time. Oh, are they gonna run it? I mean, sometimes it seemed like they ran the exact same play twice in a row.
When did he coach the Titans? Did he have anything to do with Mariota coming?
He just was this season.
Oh, this
one season,
okay.
He was the offensive coordinator, gotcha. And their offense got worse than the year before.
Easily worse.
And all of a sudden, he parlays that into an NFL coaching job.
But devil's advocate, like, Derrick Henry did have a different year than he's had in the NFL.
The last four games. What took him so long to give the ball to Derrick Henry? Maybe
LaFleur.
But that's what I'm saying. What took him so long?
Learning, coach.
LaFleur, what took him so long to give Derrick Henry the ball if he's that good?
Well, Derrick Henry's never really proved himself as that kind of back.
Like, he only won the Heisman. You're right. I mean, coach, he proved himself. He's an amazing
back.
That's
college, you idiot.
Translate.
It did not.
It doesn't always translate.
It does for Johnny Manziel, my bad.
I mean, look at Mark.
It didn't for Charlie Ward either, because he went to the NBA.
That's funny.
What about?
But it really.
It didn't for Danny Warfel.
Okay.
It didn't for Tim Tebow.
Who's the guy for Oklahoma? Jason White?
Jason White. There you go.
It really doesn't for a lot of
Troy
players.
Smith.
There you go. Troy
Come
Smith.
On.
There you go.
He looked bad at the Heisman ceremony.
Rashawn
Salaam
didn't translate for him. You can go down the list.
Thank you.
The Heisman Trophy does not translate to the NFL at all.
Look, Derrick Henry is now a reliable back this season. Like, really, it's happened this season.
Because they lost to Marco. So he's the guy now.
They didn't lose. I mean,
well, he retired.
Yeah, he left.
So I meant to play this game when all these coaches got fired.
Oh, would you rather?
No. Yeah. Okay.
Would you?
Hey, ready? Which job would you rather have?
Well, you gotta tell us.
Okay. So both of these all these jobs were open, so I'm going to give you two choices, and you got to pick which team you'd want to coach.
Got it.
Arizona Cardinals or Denver Broncos?
Oh, come on. Mile High, baby! You ever been to Denver? Denver's awesome. Take me to Denver. Ski in the winter and then hang out in the summer. Like, Denver's cool. Maybe do it. Because it's legal.
I was going to join Denver, in with you, baby. Dude. Hey, imagine all that CBD oil they got floating around in Denver. Players are never injured. You get to chill with John Elway. I heard he has like a lake house, and it's amazing. And you're probably hanging out with him every weekend. Give me Denver. See ya, Phoenix.
Guys, I'm talking about the football teams. Like, I understand the cities. Like, I understand Denver's a cool city and Phoenix is a cool. What team would you would.
Okay. I'll change my answer. I want to breathe when I go to practice and work. Like, yeah, it's going to be hard up in Mile High. Like, it's a different. That elevation really. I mean, that's a whole other factor you got to deal with. Your team. I guess I'd rather go to Phoenix. Start from scratch. Let's build this team.
Yeah, give me the Denver Broncos. I love Philip Lindsay. I'm going to have him for 10 years. He is going to be the next Terrell Davis in Denver. Give me Philip Lindsay, what they got going on there. Rosen, staying by. Give me Philip Lindsay.
Lindsay, ACL, torn ACL?
What?
No.
What does he have?
He finished
he had a hurt wrist.
No, he had a major injury.
No.
Okay, you can have Philip Lindsay.
That's torn fingernail?
I thought he had a major injury that was going to be like, ooh, I don't know if he's going to come back the same.
And if I'm the coach, I want Denver. Just because Denver has more talent on their team, I don't know how much more talent. Emmanuel Sanders had the torn.
Maybe that's what
he ruptured his Achilles.
Wide receiver, running back. I get how you get him mixed up.
But yes, that's who you were thinking of in Denver. But yes, I think because in Arizona, I feel like they have a quarterback. And David Johnson, they're running back, and that's it. I don't know what I mean. They're
Fitzgerald. Will you keep him?
But I don't know if Fitzgerald wants to come back.
You fight.
No.
Oh.
But he's older. I mean, in 3 years, when you're supposed to be good, is he going to be around? I doubt it. So I would go Denver next. New York Jets.
What team?
Or Cleveland Browns.
I'll go Cleveland. I'll go Cleveland because I look like I see that team turning around. The Jets just don't. I just don't know if they have any hope for the next 5 years, 10 years of their career. Like, I like where Cleveland's going. I like Baker Mayfield. I like the young talent they have. I like the leadership of Jarvis Landry. I like the Browns.
Yeah, I would say Hard Knocks really made me like the Browns and cheer for him. Baker Mayfield, quarterback that is solid. Love his arm. As a coach, you're gonna get to. You get to coach him.
There's a future in that team.
Yeah, I like that. The Jets, what they got going on.
What is that?
Sam Darnold.
Darnold, who people say is pretty amazing.
He's going to be
but
so good.
I still like Baker Mayfield. For some reason, the ball that Baker Mayfield throws is maybe the most intense spiral in the NFL.
I like how you group those two teams together.
Yeah,
though.
Give me Smart. The Cleveland Browns. Why? Because I don't have to play Bill Belichick and Tom Brady twice a year. That's the number one reason.
It's hard.
Because even when Brady's gone, I still think Sam Darnold's going to take over that division. Because I think unless Belichick finds another quarterback. But I think Cleveland is on the right. I think they're closer than the Jets are right now. So I think I would take the Cleveland Browns and Baker Mayfield. But I do think Sam Darnold has a bright, bright future.
Before you move on, though, speaking of Brady leaving
and Belichick.
And who would take Brady's spot, at what point do the coaches start preparing for that?
Well, I think
do you draft a player next year, a quarterback next year, and kind of learn from Brady for a little bit? Do you start training your backup a little better? Or like, how do you do that?
Well, the Patriots have drafted quarterbacks in the past that were going to be Brady's replacement, and they keep moving them on. And then they had Jimmy Garoppolo. And I honestly think Bill Belichick was ready to move on from Brady and say, look, we got Garoppolo. He's younger, and we can have him for the next 10 years. And it caused friction, and they had to trade Garoppolo last year, and I don't think Belichick wanted to. And so, eventually,
so now you're starting from scratch if you're Belichick. Like
that's. But I think when Brady leaves, Belichick leaves, and
so it's not my problem.
And Josh McDaniels will take over, I think, as head coach of the Patriots because he came out yesterday and said, "I am out. I'm not in the running for any head coaching positions. I'm going to stay here in New England. I'm happy here. I'll be here next year." So that tells me that because he was supposed to be the Colts head coach. He agreed to a deal until last year after the Super Bowl, he backed out. He said, never mind, I'm going to stay in New England. So I think they have some kind of promise in place that he's going to be the head coach when Bill Belichick leaves. And there must be some timeline. He must see the finish line, a future of, okay, I'm going to be a head coach in 3 years, or else I don't think he would sit here and wait this long.
Oh, I wish we could see that timeline. It's probably on a piece of paper in one of their offices.
Hey, bookmark this right now, though. If Brady leaves, Belichick leaves.
Belichick's gone.
I like that.
Yes. Okay. The Green Bay Packers or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Easy. Football dynasty. I mean, first Super Bowl was in my stadium. I mean, Vince Lombardi coached my team. Cheeseheads, Wisconsin, the weather sucks, but give me the Packers. I see a lot. I mean, come on, this is a much better team. I would love a chance to coach Rodgers.
Give me Green Bay. Rodgers is there. Devontae Adams, a great, great guy there in the slot, wherever he is. I don't know exactly. Tampa Bay with Jameis Winston. I mean, an Uber driver here, crab legs there.
I'm not messing, but
I'm not messing with what's going on there. Seems like he's one little situation away from just being out of the NFL from done decision making.
Give me the sun down in Tampa Bay.
You don't like the Packers.
Aaron Rodgers is the better quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is going to go to the Hall of Fame on the first ballot. But Aaron Rodgers is on the way down. He's going to eat up too much of my cap. There's more talent down there on the Tampa Bay team than there is up there on the Green Bay team. You got Aaron Rodgers and who? Devontae Adams? You got Winston.
You got Clay Matthews.
You got Winston. You got Peyton Barber. You got Mike Evans. You got DeSean Jackson. You got O.J. Howard. You got Cameron Brait. They got some.
Jimmy Graham.
He's not on Tampa Bay.
No, I'm talking about Packers.
Oh, yeah, he's nothing. Okay. He hadn't been anything since he left New Orleans. Drew Brees knew how to use him. Okay. Aaron Rodgers doesn't like
his
tight end.
But the main reason is you don't really want to work with Rodgers.
No, and Rodgers' attitude. And he's older, and he's on the way down, and he's taking up too much cap. Give me Tampa Bay. Next, last, Miami Dolphins or the Cincinnati Bengals?
Game on! It's a tough one. Looking at their quarterbacks, I like both of their quarterbacks.
So you like Tannehill and Dalton?
I like Ryan Tannehill and I like Andy Dalton. Both are solid leaders of their team. Ability, questionable. They're not the greatest quarterbacks on paper. I get it. But I would like working with either one of those guys. But a team as a whole, I like Miami. I like Miami. I like their running backs. I like Drake. I like who's the other running back they have?
Frank Gore.
Frank Gore. A lot of power in those running backs. Miami, I think, is a good team to work with.
I hate to agree with Eddie again. Give me Miami, the miracle in Miami. I saw some youthfulness in that. They are a team of the future. I've watched their games randomly enough. They've been playing in prime time on a Sunday, and I see the Dolphins, and I think that they're a very good team.
They are.
They really,
upset
really,
a lot of other teams,
they
too.
They do. Give me the Dolphins. Give me the sun.
Not to mention, man, South Beach is a cool place. Little Havana, cool place.
Cuban cigars.
The Cubans, easy to get.
This one is really hard because
hard.
I think they're both just middle-of-the-road teams that don't have much going for them. But I am going to take the Cincinnati Bengals because they have A.J. Green, they have Joe Mixon, and they have Tyler Boyd.
Yeah.
And they have Tyler Eifert.
Yes.
If he comes back from injury.
That was a bad one.
I think they have more playmakers than the Dolphins do. All I'm missing is the quarterback. So we'll keep Andy Dalton there one more year. Then the year after that, we'll tank and we'll get the number one draft pick and we'll take Trevor Lawrence in my third year as head coach out there in Cincinnati.
I forgot about Mixon.
Do you think? Oh, I didn't forget about him. This is a good team. Do you think Andy Dalton really brings the team down?
No. I don't know if he brings them down, but I think his ceiling is limited. He doesn't have as high a ceiling as some quarterbacks. Do I think Andy Dalton can win a Super Bowl? Your defense would have to be incredible. Sort of like the Ravens back in the day when they had Trent Dilfer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was game managed, you know, and the defense really was the key to that whole team.
Which is a key to a lot of victories.
Yes, but it's hard to – I don't think Andy Dalton's good enough to win a Super Bowl. And I don't think Tannehill is good enough to win a Super Bowl.
Because I feel bad for the Bengals. They had a good season starting the year, and then they started just dealing with injuries all the way down, and then they're just crap. Like, it sucked. There was hope about midway of the season that the Bengals could do something this year. Finally.
But I just don't think Andy Dalton, Ryan Tannehill, they're just...
But I like their characters as quarterbacks.
No, like I like them. They seem like good guys
solid,
and good teammates.
Solid guys that can lead a team. I like that.
And they're what you want in a quarterback. They're not getting in trouble in the media. They're trustworthy. They're leaders.
Yeah.
And but I just don't know if they're good. I think they're just average quarterbacks, and I don't think they have what it takes. They're not going to take you to a Super Bowl. I just don't believe it.
Yeah. Fair enough.
And you know that's what coaches think now, or not coaches, but people in the organization. Is this quarterback going to take us to the Super Bowl? All right, get him out of here. That has to be it, because there's so much turnover with quarterbacks, and everybody always moves up to try and get the best quarterback out of college because they know that. If your quarterback, if you look at your quarterback and you don't think he can lead you to a Super Bowl, you're not getting a Super Bowl. Outside of Trent Dilfer, you're not getting a Super Bowl.
I still don't think a quarterback is the main player that gets you to the Super Bowl or wins the Super Bowl. I just don't
think. Time and time again, it is, though.
I mean, for the past, for our generation, sure. I mean, Brady's been winning them all. Like, you get it. I mean,
Brady, Manning, Breeze.
I get it.
Who else has won? Joe Flacco, Big Ben, Eli Manning. There's only that's what I'm saying.
Eli Manning, I wouldn't even put him on the list. Like, he was an okay quarterback.
He was an okay, but their defense was really awesome. Good.
Michael Strahan, the greatest defensive player in his generation.
But look at, Baltimore, like, the defense
not even
was
close.
Was boom, like, you know, like, good defense. Like, I don't, Big Ben, really? The Steelers. It's just, yes, in our generation, there have been good quarterbacks that have led their teams to the Super Bowl. I don't think that's the only player that we really need to be the strongest in the team to get to the Super Bowl and win it.
Okay.
That's why I think the Cowboys can win this year.
There you go.
I mean, really, that's why I think they have a chance of winning this year.
I know you have that belief.
Yeah, I do.
And you want to because you're a fan, but you're not a realist, are you, at all? You don't want to be.
I am a realist. It's almost like, look, if I break down the playoffs right now, I'm telling you, there isn't one team that I see as like even an Alabama. Like, look at Alabama's a good example.
Well, you're confusing me. You're combining NFL and college right now?
Yes, football teams.
So the Cowboys play Bama?
Alabama, unbeatable. Now NFL. The Saints, unbeatable. Man, they're so good. They're beatable. The Rams, they're so good. We've seen them play like crap the last three weeks.
No, we never said they're they have.
You said that.
I'm saying people, because look at them. Yeah. They have losses, so you know they are beatable.
Right.
And what do we know about the NFL playoffs?
Anyone can win.
The NFL is week-to-week league.
Yeah. It is.
College football, there are a few people up at the top of the pyramid. Of a mountain, kings of the mountain. And those are the teams that are there the NFL, there's so many teams that, like, every year that don't make the playoffs, next year they're making the playoffs. And it's
so week to week, and that was proven with the Texans. They were so hot 9 weeks in a row, 9-game winning streak. That's
and
crazy.
Then, boom.
I mean, the worst home game loss, it was terrible. And it was. Then, if you're a Houston Texans fan, that was so gross.
That's the NFL.
And these number one seeds, two seeds, you haven't seen them even play yet in the playoffs. So you're saying Cowboys can win a Super Bowl? You haven't even seen what the Rams are about to do. They might put up 70. The Saints, you haven't seen these teams in the playoffs. They could either go crazy to an octane level you've never seen before.
Or they could suck.
Or they're obviously all mediocre. And guess what? The Cowboys got a damn good shot then. Right now, it all kind of looks a little mediocre. Nobody's really stood out like crazy because we haven't seen the top dogs play. I would say it's all level right now.
It's pretty level right now.
It's not level.
Well, coach,
we haven't seen the dogs. Once those top dogs go, with the teams we've saw so far, I mean, you got Cowboys, Colts. Seahawks are out now.
Well, yes, the field is level. They'll play on the same field. I understand what you're saying.
No, we've gone over this. That field is not level.
No, it's arched.
So you're telling me the Superdome in New Orleans is not level.
Correct.
I would argue with you on that one.
What do you mean?
I think it's just the outdoor ones.
Because it's a turf field indoors. I'm going to say it's pretty level. I would guess, because there's no rain. There's no water. There's no need for drainage. So I would guess that the field is level.
Can we get a maintenance crew to call in? That's a good question.
Jimbo here in NOLA.
Hey, this is Bill. I got 5 minutes before I got to go back.
Get that crocodile out of here.
Hey, get the rake over here.
Hey, somebody give me some crawdads. Hey, the field is level.
That's the one. But I do say, we were talking about head coaches. The one hire I do love is Bruce Arians to Tampa Bay. He retired from Arizona last year, so he took a year off, and he is back. And he turned Arizona into a pretty good squad with Carson Palmer. Their offense was rolling, and they had Todd Bowles at defense. They're going to do the same thing down in Tampa, and they have offensive weapons, and Bruce Arians is an offensive coach. I love That higher.
Carson Palmer, he retired?
Yeah, he's done. Yeah, he's old. He was old.
And these guys just fade. They don't like Jay Cutler.
There's no huge announcement.
He didn't ever make a huge announcement.
Well,
he
retired. No, why? Because no one cared.
Well, he made an announcement,
and then he came back for a year in Miami, and it was terrible, and everybody's like, can you just get out of the NFL?
That's why. If you make an announcement, and you say, I'm quitting, and then a year later, you're just like, oh, I kind of want to go back. You come back, and no one takes you serious.
Or if people love you, then it's a big deal when you retire.
Right.
No one loved Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler didn't have a bunch of fans. There wasn't a bunch of Jay Cutler jerseys in the stands. It was more like Jay Cutler jerseys being burned in the parking lot.
Damn.
So 0% chance of him coming back to the NFL?
0%. Okay. He is done.
Because he's been out for...
It's been 3 years, right?
Oh, has it
been
really?
A year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he played last year. Not this... Like, he played 2017.
For who? Miami?
Yeah, he came...
Because of an injury.
He went into the booth, and then Tannehill got hurt and came in.
Got it.
Yes. But breaking news... Freddie Kitchens has been named the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, the temporary offensive coordinator that led the resurgence of Baker Mayfield and ran a good... Hey,
good for him,
congratulations, Freddie Kitchens. And sad news to announce, Vic Fangio has been named the head coach of the Broncos. That's the Bears defensive coordinator. Dang it.
Oh, so you guys lost one.
It's all because of the field goal kicker.
Yeah.
Is he the young guy? What does he look like? What's his name?
So if the Bears had won, he would still be on board.
He would still be interviewing.
I mean, I know, but he's not going to announce it.
Right.
As they're in the playoffs.
I'm very sad to see him go because our defense was good. And
Coach, I think your talent on the defense is really good.
It does help. A good defensive coordinator helps also.
But don't get too down because you can probably find a pretty good replacement that could deal with those guys the same.
Mac and all the boys.
Oh, dude, they're
awesome. They were fun.
They're awesome.
It was fun while it lasted, boys.
No, Monsters that's not what we said.
Monsters of the Midway Part 2.
Man, that was fun to watch. The Steel Curtain.
Okay, Coach, you can't give him a Steelers name.
And more news on Antonio Brown.
Oh, no. What did he tweet? Did he go live on Facebook?
No, Ryan Clark, who works for ESPN.
New Year's Eve. Oh.
He's a talking head now.
Yeah, he used to play for the Steelers. And he said that back in that Antonio Brown cussed out Dick LeBeau, the defensive coordinator, and there was almost a fight at practice, and that Mike Tomlin just let
all of it happen.
He let everything get a little too far. Like, he's saying he didn't wrangle in Antonio Brown when he should have.
I mean, God, this just sounds like a bunch of babysitting.
Clark said he hasn't played for the Steelers since 2013, but he said he talked to players on the 2018 team and said, Brown has become a serious problem, and Mike Tomlin hasn't handled it.
For sure a serious problem. He was going Facebook Live a year ago. Now he's been a basket case, and now we're hearing he got in fights. He's throwing footballs at Big Ben.
I mean, dude, you have to treat your football team like you would a CEO of a company would, or your boss. Like, you don't let people
cuss out your coaches. You can't go in and cuss out your boss.
Like, you know, it's got to be run the same way. Like, to be like, all right, you're free, man. You can do whatever you want. No, this is work. This is a job. You got to act professional, you know? Like, you got to respect your coaches and the same way we do every day. I don't understand this.
And Clark said, we almost got into a physical altercation that day, me and Antonio Brown, because my thing was, this is not how we behave. This is not how we act. And for sure, you don't talk to Coach LeBeau that way.
Yeah.
Like, Antonio Brown seems like a little...
I like Ryan Clark, though, dishing this stuff, so we're able to hear.
Obviously, they're not friends. But obviously, they don't stay in touch.
Because he already went at him again earlier about something else.
But, Coach, you can say, like, yeah, Antonio Brown, this sounds like a whatever. But really, you can stop that if you really want to stop it. Like, you know, like,
you shouldn't have to. He's an adult. And no, he's a professional.
But there are people that you work with that, you know, just feel like I got to be myself. Like, no, dude, you're in a professional environment. I don't care if you're a natural a-hole. You're not going to be one here.
Antonio Brown, he's starting to seem like kind of a jerk.
Like we talk about Spurs and some of these players that play for the Spurs, and they don't cause any trouble when they play the Spurs. They go somewhere else, and it's just like, who are these dudes?
No one causes problems when they go. The Spurs.
Steven Jackson.
That's why the Spurs got rid of him.
That's what I'm saying. And when he was with the Spurs?
No, that's why he got cut, because he was causing problems.
That's my point. Get rid of Antonio Brown.
Steven Jackson and Antonio Brown,
two totally different caliber of athletes.
Yes.
I get it.
But what's great is, if you look at Steven Jackson and if you listen to him talk, he is a very cool dude.
I'm not saying he's not cool.
He comes out and says that he's still, like, Popovich is like a father to him. Like, he taught him how to be a professional, and he And that's what you need to do.
Maybe,
he was held accountable. Antonio Brown needs a father figure.
And,
well, the problem is Antonio Brown has probably never been held accountable because he's been the superstar his whole life, so he can act any way he wants to, and he can get away with
it.
And now all this stuff's coming out. It's like, ooh, looks pretty bad.
But every team has him.
Every team has him.
Cowboys had Dez Bryant. It dealt with it all the time. Like, it's part of it.
Yeah, and what happened when it gets too much?
You got to get
rid of
him.
See you later. Bye, Dez.
And it's like the wide receivers, they all seem like they got to talk a lot so that they get the ball more, and then they just end up becoming crazy.
Diva, wide. It's the most diva position on a football field is wide receiver.
Coach, good observation. Maybe it's because they don't get the ball all the time, so you start getting the jealousy factor of just like, why does he get five passes? Why do I get none? Like,
yeah, but you don't need it. You don't need a diva wide. You can't. There's no room for it.
Yeah, I know, but human.
If you're going to win a Super Bowl, you don't need a diva wide receiver.
Oh, I get that. Yeah, you're right.
Overrated.
Overrated
position.
Like, I
wouldn't pay Odell Beckham Jr. that money because why? What do the wide receivers win?
But then you have, like, DeAndre Hopkins where you just throw the ball in the 10-yard vicinity.
And
he's going to catch it.
And guess what? He doesn't say a dang thing, does he?
No.
Goes out there and just balls.
Yeah, but Hopkins couldn't catch those ones that they threw in the ground to him. There's no way you can catch those balls.
Well,
that's not his fault.
If he hits the ground,
yeah, that's Deshaun Watson's fault. That's not his fault.
Dude, he was throwing him grounders a couple of those times.
I mean,
hey, but to Deshaun Watson's defense, he'd always be like, my bad. Well, no crap is your bad, dude. It was the ground.
It's 21-0 in the first quarter, dude. It's your bad for sure.
Well, it's not all his bad. I mean, no, defense, the defense can stop someone.
Dude, they didn't get going, though, until the fourth.
But
they needed a fifth quarter.
Because that offensive line for the Colts is so legit. So legit. And now the question is, football season, college football's over.
Yeah.
Done. Oh, man, just give it a moment. Give me a good moment.
Okay, here, I'll give you a moment.
Guys, that sucks.
Okay.
Dang.
Jalen Hurts, what do you do? What do you do if you're Jalen Hurts? Because he can now, he graduated in December.
Can he go to the NFL?
He can transfer to another school. He's not NFL.
Oh,
he's
no,
not NFL
he's
material.
Not.
Okay.
So if you're Jalen Hurts, do you stay one more year in Alabama and just ride the bench for the rest of your eligibility?
No,
you go transfer immediately, grad transfer, and become the starter somewhere else?
He could transfer to Tennessee, be the Vols quarterback.
That's one of the rumored places.
It is?
Yep.
Dang. I'm just a great guesser and everything.
So do you think, help me out here, do you think if he transfers to another school and starts and plays and really, like, plays well, could that change his
chances? He's not
going
to the NFL, okay. I don't think. I don't think he doesn't throw the ball well enough.
Yeah, I mean, we love what he's doing, and he stayed there.
Right,
as
it
a
was
team.
Cool, and
he came back and
won the SEC championship. Like, he brought them back.
That was so cool.
That was a feel-good moment, and I felt great for him.
That was great for America, but guess what, man? Hey, go get you some. Go get a year of football. Have some fun, dude.
Your last
have a
year to play. Yeah. You've been playing your whole life. Go transfer and just get out there and play, man. Enjoy it.
What he needs to do is
Sam
go to Hawaii.
Houston State.
No, he needs to go to Hawaii. Become bigger than Tua in Hawaii and just look. Maybe not go play for a national championship. Become awesome in Hawaii and then look at Tua and like, I gotcha.
What?
I don't know what he's talking.
That's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Tua is one of the bigger names in Hawaii. Jalen Hurts
is from Hawaii.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts goes there, wins
steals
all those
his thunder.
Do you think all the Hawaiians are going to be like, "Yeah, screw Tua, we love Hurts now. Get out of here."
Yeah, he led Hawaii to the Potato Bowl. All right, yeah, go Jalen Hurts. Let's put up a statue.
Now that's a 30 for 30.
Okay.
Now Hurts and goes so this, to Hawaii. This kind of takes me back to yesterday when we talked about, would you rather ride the bench or would you actually play and lose? So this is a classic example. The more I thought about it, like if let's say you get offered a scholarship to Clemson, but you're just going to ride the bench for 4 years and you're not guaranteed you're going to win any championships, or you could go to Illinois and be a four-year starter and play all the time. What would you do?
This is I go into dad mode when you ask questions like this. Like if I was Jalen's dad, what would I like want for him?
Coach, he's like 22, 23.
But still, his dad did come out and say if he didn't win the starting job, he'd be the biggest free agent in college football history.
He's in college. You never talk to your dad about college stuff?
Yeah.
Like, hey, dad, I'm about to graduate. Oh, what should I do?
You're transitioning into a different phase of dad life. You're not the dad. You're the friend, advisor.
No, stop. You're still scared of your dad, so you don't say anything about you don't talk to your dad. Eddie's still scared of his dad, so you saying, oh, your dad doesn't make.
Well, no, I'm not scared of my dad anymore. I'm independent from my dad.
Ray is scared of his dad.
Yeah. Like, I don't talk to my dad about anything. I don't really ask him for advice. We just have a father-son relationship now.
Ray was scared to say that he was going to live with his chick because he was scared of his dad.
He's afraid of his dad. Yes.
Dad's a monster.
It doesn't.
That doesn't size nothing. Like, you have this respect for your dad.
Leave me alone.
So yeah, so you go into dad mode. What do you do? What do you tell Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, so I feel like at this point I have to be honest with my son and just be like, son, like, you're not NFL material, right? Like, you're not. Do you want to have a good last year? Hurrah! Go play with a good team. But I think this is the point in your life where football is going to be secondary. Start focusing on, like, this is it. Like, concentrate in your school, get really good grades, because you're going to have to find a job in 2 years. Like, a job. So, wherever you want to do, you want to play football and transfer, that's fine. Fine, that'll be fun for you. But you're not going to play football for the rest of your life. It's time to focus on the real stuff.
He can't be a running back?
No, I don't think so. I think he could.
Unless there's something I know about, I don't know about him that he has some kind of chance he can go to the NFL.
I don't think there's any chance he's going to the NFL. Maybe he wants to be a coach. So maybe football is it. But I don't care about grades. I don't care about anything. I tell him, go.
Yeah, right. Now, who cares about grades?
Well, he's already graduated, so he's got his degree.
He's graduated?
So what are you talking about, study hard?
No, but he's got to take graduate classes.
Coach, go internship somewhere. Like, this is time to start thinking about your next step, which isn't the football field.
You need to enjoy your college career.
You hear me, son?
Enjoy football while you have the chance to enjoy football. Have fun. And it's going to be hard to leave Alabama and all your teammates that you've been friends with for the last 3 years. Yes, I understand. It's going to be so hard. But you only get one shot at playing. So why would you waste it? Why would you work that hard for all these years and then just sit the bench and be like, you know what, I'm cool with. Go have one more year to play.
He can't sit the bench again. There's no way he decides to do that. Man, that's going to be a weird year if he doesn't go anywhere.
Right, and it has to be hard to say, listen, to make that decision, because you went to Alabama, you led them to the national title, you were 26-2 or something like that as a starter, and it's hard to walk away, but... Man, just riding the bench to end your career and look back in 20 years and be like, man, I could have played one more year and actually played meaningful snaps.
He had meaningful snaps. If he wants to do that, he can look at the first 2 years he played in Alabama. Like,
yeah, but I'm saying...
Like, you know, he's had a good career. You guys act like he's never had a chance to do... He's had his time. He just got benched this year. Like, and he sat in the shadows of Tua. Like, one more year is really just for fun. You go have fun and go play somewhere. It's going to mean nothing. This isn't going to be like, look back. I played my 2 good years in Alabama and I had a great year at Tennessee.
He's probably talking to coaches. Hey, think I can start? Oh, okay. Oh, how far are you from Alabama? Yeah, I'll move my stuff. Not that big of a deal. Is he talking to coaches now?
He's got to be. Or he's talking to his family and trying to decide what he wants to do, like what the decision is going to be and what is best for him. And maybe deep down, being part of Alabama and that culture and in that is more important to him than getting back on the field and playing.
This is crazy to me because this is the most we've ever talked about a backup quarterback. Like, really. Like, we've actually care about this dude. No one talks about Kelly Bryant. Like, we talked about him for a second yesterday, but we talk about Jalen Hurts all the time. Why?
Because he was 26-2 as a starter, and he took him to the national championship game.
The turning point was the craziest thing ever. Bama was losing. They put in this backup. He won in the game. It was an unbelievable plot line that you would almost make a movie out of. That's why we're talking about it. And there's so much controversy and conflict. Questions. Oh, I like this. I like that. And maybe he just thinks Tua's going to get hurt. Maybe he's like, he could also get hurt. You never know. I'll be there all year.
He is hurt. Yeah. Tua is hurt.
But he'll be fine by next season. Like, he has plenty of time to recover.
And back in the day, you couldn't just flip-flop teams all the time. Right. So now, this is a new dynamic.
They do it all the time. Now, they found a little loophole, and everybody's taking advantage of it. And Saban can't block him from going anywhere. Like, it used to be like, oh, you cannot go to this school, or that school. Now it's just, he's a graduate transfer. He can go anywhere he wants.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is there's something to be said about us talking about Jalen Hurts all the time. Like, there is something here. He does have something more than just a backup quarterback. Does he go play for another team, or what does he do? He could be a star at another team and maybe make something out of it this last year.
He will be a star at another team.
Right, he will be the starter.
He could be an amazing starter.
A a star, like a star to maybe catch the eye of NFL teams, like something. Maybe he has that one-year chance. Give it your all, dude. Something could happen from this. If not, then we move on.
Yeah, and we don't talk about Kelly Bryant because he didn't have the history of what.
I know. We just don't ever talk about a backup quarterback that got replaced. Oh, well. It's done.
But he's on a team that's the biggest college football team in the last decade. So that's
and the way
it.
He got replaced was rough.
Right.
Right. And the way he dominated for so many years.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah. But that's, I mean, it's what I just wonder if I'm him, I'm out. I say thank you, Nick Saban. Thank you to all my teammates, all my friends. We'll still be boys. We'll still, you know, we'll still hit you up on text, but I'm going to go play football somewhere else.
But you would have also expected him to say, I'm out this year, too. Like it's weird because he's proved everyone wrong. He stayed when everyone thought he's going to leave.
Well, we didn't say he was going to leave.
No, we all thought it.
He could have.
Why wouldn't he?
What he did, what Saban did, was he didn't announce a starter before the season, so he couldn't leave for this season.
Saban tricked him.
Saban did I would say Saban played him a little bit on that. Saban played him.
Catch his bluff this year.
Because he didn't let him leave before the season. He could have only played four games, and then he would have 2 years of eligibility left. But instead, he said, no, I'd rather just be this and then go for one more year. So we'll see what happens. And this is pretty funny. Like, I'm a Bears fan, but I find this funny. Bears fans had started a GoFundMe page for Parkey to buy out his contract. Try to get rid of him.
How much is that?
$9 million or some ridiculous. But my question is, who is the idiot that actually donates to that? Because whoever created that account then just gets to keep the money.
Correct. Because they're not even going to get close. No one's going to follow up on it. It's like when you invest in a business, you have daily you have reports quarterly of how your business is going. How much money am I getting back? How much money is the company making? Like this GoFundMe is literally throwing your money down the drain, and you're never going to see any of it.
Yes.
It's so funny to me.
I feel like GoFundMe has some stuff in place now where you kind of have to do something in that direction. You're telling me this dude can just pocket the money, whoever created it?
How? Like, how would he not pocket it?
I feel like sometimes if you don't make there's been the guys in the fraud case.
So if you don't make the goal, you get to get the money back? Is that?
If
I don't
you
know.
Don't make,
I've never really done a GoFundMe. I've never really
I've
donated.
Never paid, and I've never done it for myself.
Right.
You've never done a GoFundMe?
No, I've done
it. There's a lot of people out there that need your help.
I've donated to people like, okay, I'm having surgery. Can you help me? Or, you know, something like that. I've done that.
I wonder if they can pull out before
the
goal's
met. I've given them money. Like, it's weird.
But how about this one? The one I saw a couple years ago, I think it was Zach Braff. He wanted to make a movie.
Oh, I remember that.
And he just said, hey, fans, I don't want to pay for it. Will you guys pay for it? And he asked for donations. And all these fans donated enough money for, and they don't get anything. And he makes
profits. They do though. They get the movie.
Stop.
Hold on.
But Zach Braff made millions of dollars from the movie.
It doesn't matter. They're donating their own money because they want to see him make a movie. Garden State was really, really good. He made Garden State. The film company believed in Garden State and that movie. It was a success. But now they don't believe in him anymore. They're not going to make the movie. So the fans are like, dude, we'll pay you to make the movie. And then we can all tell our friends, I helped make that movie. I was an executive producer for that movie.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't understand the point. Zach Braff is a millionaire. If he wants to make the movie, make the movie. You got the money. Why are you coming to me
I mean, it would turn him into not a millionaire. Like,
no, if it's going to be a successful movie, he's going to get all that money back.
I think they made the movie, and I don't think it was a success.
I don't even know what it was. I have no idea. But I just remember this going, he raised like $1 million, $2 million on GoFundMe just to make a movie, and the fans paid for it. Makes no sense to me.
Like here's an example. Like, I like watching the Old People Movie Channel, the Turner Classic Movies. It's all black and white. It's movies old. It's going to go away someday. It's going to go away someday because people just don't watch it.
I never knew that.
But if I
am... Is it AMC Movies?
No, Turner Classic Movies. Okay. TCM. All right. Hey, but if I can ever help it, I want to donate money to save that channel.
See, that's so crazy to me.
Like,
have advertisers that pay for that channel.
No, I get it, but if no one's watching it, advertisers aren't going to advertise on it. Like, I get... You know what I mean? It's like PBS. That's all publicly supported. Listener, watcher, viewer supported. They don't make money through advertisement. It's all donations. So like,
that is so crazy.
People do it because they want to see something like that live. They want to see Parkey go away. That's crazy to me.
But here's the funny part. You ready for the funny part now?
Yeah.
Eagles fans got on Venmo and we're Venmoing him money. Like I said, congratulations. Like, hey, here's $2, one for each goalpost. You're the real MVP. Here's $5. Thanks for the win, another commented. $10.
And I wonder if he can accept that.
Of course he can. And I heard a lot of people were changing their name to Parkey.
That's another thing, a lot of people change their name to Cody Parkey. They have no idea which ones are the real Cody Parkey, but a lot of Cody Parkeys were getting money donated to him via Eagles fans.
But Coach, wouldn't that be illegal, though, to accept money for missing?
Illegal?
Yeah.
Ooh, I see.
After the fact, but there's no
maybe it was set up ahead of time. Maybe, yeah, there's no proof. That might be illegal.
I would decline every single one of those just to be sure.
There's probably some kind of rule about that.
Yeah.
Or maybe donate it all to charity.
Something like, maybe do that.
And I don't know how much he made or if it even went to the real Cody Parkey, but that's so funny to me.
But dude, $1 for every, $2 for every Eagles fan, like that's a lot of money.
Yeah, because that's what happened like last year when Andy Dalton and the Bengals, they beat the Ravens on the last day of the season to put the Bills into the playoff. A bunch of Bills fans. We're donating to Andy Dalton's charity to say thank you. Like, oh my gosh, that's so awesome. And I think that's pretty cool. But yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
All right. Oh, I did want to make a quick announcement real quick.
Your son is going to major leagues. Hey, I forgot about this.
So consider my 5-year-old junior, he got drafted yesterday. I got a call from the coach. First, I got an email saying, hey, call me ASAP. We need to talk. He called me. This coach, just to give you a little quick backstory, he coached my 5-year-old the last 2 seasons. Solid coach. I think he played ball somewhere.
The kid's still 5?
Hmm?
You said he's 5, a 5-year-old.
He's 5 years old now. He's been playing 2 seasons already. All right. But this head coach, he has his son in it. His kids are ballers. Like, they're just really good. They've got baseball blood. The coach is actually good. Like, he knows the game. He's really solid. He emails me and says, hey, call me. I need to talk. Call him. Hey, we need to talk about next season. I already told you I'm not going to be coaching again. I've changed my mind. We've started with a new league across town. All elite players. We want junior to join the team.
Wow.
Hey, I'm like, dang, the coach is calling. Dude, I might as well have him in the living room, make him some coffee, and be like, well, let's talk about it.
That is awesome. Have fun sitting in that crosstown traffic, though. Sounds miserable.
But, dude, I mean, to me, it's opportunity. The coach sees an opportunity in junior. He likes something about it.
Or does he just like dad?
Or maybe they need a spot in the team.
Yeah, I was going to say, they need your money.
Maybe.
Yeah, they need your money.
I thought maybe he wanted to keep elite players together.
Or he thinks your wife's hot.
Wow.
Oh, that could be it too. That could be it too.
Hey, next email. So cool, man. Can't wait to see you practice. Is your wife coming?
Can't wait to see you and your wife.
It was good to see. I mean, game one, that was cool, but where was your wife? Like, we need all the fan support we can get.
The team's great. All the moms are very attractive. That's a great team. All right.
Wow. My guy's going to be 20-0, but got the hottest moms in the league.
Hey, there is another team that we've played in the past, and all the dads look like rock stars. I'm like, who are these dudes? Like, all the dads have long hair and tattoos, and I'm like, dang.
Biker gang?
Huh?
Biker gang?
No, they just look like they're part of, like, Nickelback or something. All the dads.
I never thought about that, playing our fans, like my parents, and then look over at the other parents. I never really compared them. I think maybe if we played the rich schools, we'd always be like, oh, all their parents have nice vehicles. All our parents had like trucks.
You start looking at stuff like that. You'd be like, damn, that team, like, they're loaded, man. Look at all the...
That's really funny.
They all look dressed.
They're all dressed up,
nice.
coming from the office.
They're all in suits and ties. Yeah. You guys are all in t-shirts.
Yeah, ours, like, our pants a little high. You know, we're kind of giving up in life a little bit. These other dads, they're like young and hip.
That's really funny. We pull the games in my dad's paint truck, and we sit, literally. My dad had a van, and like, you know, had the sliding door, and he didn't have seats in there. We sat on paint buckets, and we'd jump out. All right, we're here to play.
Dude,
all right,
how
let's
rough
go.
On those turns was that?
Oh, boy, hold on. Like, tools would fall over, hammers and saws falling all over that because he had built shelves on the wall, and the hammers hung and everything.
Nice.
It was hilarious. I don't know the last time. I didn't wear a seatbelt from the age of like 5 till whenever.
Yeah, kids nowadays, they don't know that life.
They don't know that life. It's so funny.
I remember in my dad's Bronco in the back seat, me and my brother were just standing up. We were playing something in the back, and my dad's gunning it, and we go over railroad tracks. Dude, we both hit our heads on the ceiling of the Bronco, and I'll never forget it because we were both like, whoa, like, dang, that hurt. Dad, slow down. He's like, all right, y'all sit down back there.
Hilarious.
Be careful.
We were in my mom's Suburban. We are going to a soccer game at Retama Park in San Antonio.
Horse track.
And
yeah, gambling.
Well, there's concerts. there's soccer fields right there,
polo
too.
Polo fields.
And we're running late. And we got like six members of the team in the car. And my dad is flooring it. And there's like a dip. And he doesn't see it. And we go and we, boom, we hit our head on the roof of the freaking car. And this guy, Michael Alf, he was real quiet. He goes, hey, can we just turn around and do that again, skip the game?
He had a blast.
Oh, he had a blast. And my dad was so pissed because we're already late. And then we get to the game. And here's the worst part. We get to the game. We were 5 minutes late driving from Austin to San Antonio.
Forfeit.
It was like, which is an hour and 15 minute drive. They forfeited. They didn't want to play. And they were like, we could scrimmage, but we're not going to play.
I bet your dad was livid.
Oh, my dad goes, you're telling me. And we hiked all the way across these fields because there was no parking. And he was like, we just ran across 10 fields. I mean, he was so pissed.
You all hauled all your soccer bags,
all
your
our
thermos,
soccer
bill, orange
and the,
slices.
The coolers, the orange slices, the Capri Suns,
dang,
everything. Didn't even get to play the game.
Your kids nowadays, they don't even know that.
They don't even
Come
understand.
On.
Cool thing, the Royals. The Kansas City Royals, they had a charity event at Kauffman Stadium. They let people play Mario Kart on the big screen.
Oh, that's cool.
That is awesome. There was, and a helicopter happened to just catch it because they were doing aerial shots of Arrowhead Stadium, which is right next door. And they happened to see it, and it went viral on Twitter saying, oh, my gosh. And everybody's like, wait, we want to do that. And they said it's a charity event. There will be more opportunities in 2019 if you're interested.
That's cool.
And
did you tell brother about that?
Yeah, I'm going to tell him.
All right.
We're going to have to talk to him tomorrow about the Chiefs.
I know.
Because he's going to the Chiefs-Colts this weekend. Yes, we're going to get him in here. We're going to talk about it tomorrow. But
Let's also talk to him on Monday when he's all puckered up.
Yes. Eddie, you're a gambler. Ray's a gambler. Eddie's out of money already. We're only like 8 days into the month.
Good work.
No, I still have running bets, though. I still have the $10 and the Cowboys win the Super Bowl.
The Aggies were playing the Kentucky Wildcats last night in basketball.
Saw this.
Oh my gosh. The line started out at 12.5.
Oh my goodness.
It ended up at 14.5. They're up 15 with 2 seconds to go. Everybody starts shaking hands. The A&M guy just kind of tosses the ball from midcourt towards the bucket. Swish. Goes in, covers the spread.
That'll ruin your night.
And guess what? The game was over,
and you won
the bet, but they called him back onto the court and said, hey, there's still 2 seconds left.
Yes.
And since they called him back onto the court, that's when the guy was like, ah, screw it, I'll just shoot a half quarter.
Yeah.
And shot it and drained it. And even the announcer was like, oh, probably a pretty interesting basket for some.
Yeah, yeah.
They called, like, you know, the ball kind of went out of bounds, so they thought the clock ran out or whatever, and then they reviewed it. And they're like, no, put 2 seconds back on.
It's like when Todd Gurley just fell down and didn't cross the goal line that one time. Everyone needed that touchdown if they went Rams. And he was like, I don't care what the freaking Vegas says. Like,
what was it, Texas A&M?
Yeah,
imagine
Texas A&M.
Imagine if you're in Vegas, you're an alum, you have Texas A&M plus 15.5. Greatest feeling in the world to the guy that had Kentucky. The favorite, baby, we got this, we got this. He's already drinking. He probably didn't even see the finish to learning that you actually lost that bet.
They see the time run out. They're like, all right, let's go cash our ticket.
They
go get in line.
A lot of those Kentucky
people
didn't even know that they had lost. Probably.
I've done that before where I'm like, all right, game one, turn the TV off. I go walk my dog. I come back, check the balance. I'm like, what? It's not there. What happened? Didn't win it.
Yeah. All right, everybody, have a great day. We're out of here.
No locks.
Happy hump day.
Twitter.
I can't do a lock. I'm at like 40%.
Coach, I'm almost catching up to you.
I got one little tweet I have to read. A guy sent this to
me.
It was a
drag message. Sore Loser Show on Twitter. Hit us up. Let us know.
Listen, it was so mean. I just have to read it.
Okay.
Oh, and thank you guys for letting us know about the podcast getting taken down yesterday. We're having weird stuff going on with that stuff. But thanks for letting us know. That way we can get on top of it.
Yeah.
Figure that out.
What do you got, Ray?
All right. This guy with a New England Patriots beanie, he goes, dude, your locks suck. I love Bobby Bones Show, but your gambling knowledge is garbage. Numbers don't lie. I'm not trying to be mean, but it's facts. Please stop, and you're not a northerner. Who wrestles, let alone ice fishes, or even shotgun a beer? Please stop, dude.
That's great. I love it.
That's a good way to end it.
I like that guy. I'm going to follow him.
Because of that guy with the New England Patriots beanie, I'm not doing a lock today. I'm clinging to 40%. If I drop into the 30% tile with Eddie, not good.
Coach, what do you mean with me? If I surpass you, you're done.
LB's in the 60 percentile. That's
amazing.
Yeah,
but he doesn't place a lot of
Coach,
he, do a lot
he
of locks.
Nailed the national championship underdog. Yeah. I mean, that's got to get some kind of street cred.
He is the sports genius. What do you want? That's what you expect from him.
You don't have to bet every. And he's like, he doesn't give a lot of locks. Right. Because when I give my locks, I want him to be right. I don't just go out on a whim.
Remember all those fish in the ocean? We were with them, the whole school of fish. We all had little Bama hats on. There was that one fish that was coming back this way.
The great white? that was me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so enjoy some college basketball tonight. There's some good games. You got Virginia, BC, FSU, Miami, and TCU's invading Lawrence. They're coming to Allen Fieldhouse. Let's go, Jayhawks.
Yeah.
All right, have a great day. We out.
All right, goodbye.